Hello, the lovely peoples. It is I, Coach Lizzie. Here we are. Happy Sunday, happy late January. How you doing? Is it nice and chilly out where you are? I bet most of the whole country is chilly today. I am so excited that I get to spend the time with you today. It is like all Lizzie all afternoon. I've got this call, I've got the maintenance call coming up after. I am so excited. Corinne gave me the keys to the Porsche, which is you all. And so, like, let's take this baby out for a spin. Oh, we got weight loss coach in. So, anybody who would like to raise their hand, please go ahead and do so we can do some coaching. You can type questions into the Q&A. And I gotta remember how to get attendees up. There we go. Wow, excellent. We got everybody coming in. All those hearts, so lovely. Fantastic. Y'all stay warm out there. Real quick, as people are coming in, I wanted to share a quick little analogy. You guys know I love me some analogies. And I was talking to a client last week and I came up with a new one and I was like, oh, I'm kind of in love with it. So here's the thing. By the way, thank you so much, those of you who are saying that you love my book and my podcast. I appreciate it so much. Yep, just launched a new book. It's called Light. The new psychology of weight loss. So excited for that. But here, the analogy. Okay. So this client, tell me if this sounds like you. She was saying, I've been in OBS for fill in the amount of time and I don't want to quit, but I must not want it that bad. And I was like, what do you mean? And she's like, well, I'm not doing the things. Like I know what to do, but I'm not doing it. So I must not want it that bad. And I was like, interesting. Because like you, this client I was talking to was like, you are a smart put together gal. And I bet you listening to me right now are also a smart put together gal. And so if there's something that you want, like you probably go get it unless there's an obstacle in the way. And so I said it to my client. I was like, I have a feeling that you want it plenty bad. Like that's not, wanting is not the issue here. I think there's an obstacle in the way. I wonder if the obstacle is that maybe there's something in your nervous system that doesn't feel safe to change. And so here's the analogy. And it's so perfect for this week, given that it's so cold out. So I said, imagine you and I took a little trip up to the northern tundra of Canada in the wilds. And anybody who's joining us from Canada today, love you. But I said, like, let's say we go out into the forests of northern Canada and you got on your nice warm woolly coat and it is cold out there. And I say, okay, hand me over your coat and good luck with the chilly weather. And I start to walk away. You would probably hold on to that coat like your life depended on it because you don't want to sit out there and, deal with the freezing wind without a coat. And that is what our nervous system does. When we don't feel safe to change, it holds on to food like it is that warm, woolly coat that is keeping us safe from the icy cold weather. Now, what is in this analogy, what is the icy cold weather? What's the wind that it doesn't feel safe to let go of food for? Could be all kinds of things. It could be, I don't feel safe to feel my emotions. Therefore, I'm gonna hang on to that nice warm coat of food to keep me safe. It could be, I don't feel safe with the stress in my life, and I don't have other stress coping tools. And so, food is the way I cope with stress. So, don't you take that coat, don't you take that food away from me over my dead body. It could be I'm having a health crisis, a family crisis, or what have you, and your brain is like, I need a way to cope with this chilly weather. Again, the chilly weather is whatever's going on that like you don't have another tool that helps you. You don't have the nice hat or the mittens or the great boots. All you got is this coat, which is food. Maybe I'm taking this analogy a little far, but anyway, I just kind of I fell in love with it because I was like, this so explains why smart women like you can know what to do, but you don't do it because there is part of your nervous system that does not feel safe to let go of food like that nice warm coat in the chilly wind. So you can add in new tools, nervous system regulating tools. Yay, shout out to Coach Kathy. And there is I will find the link in a minute. There's a nervous system resource page that is amazing. So you can add in nervous system regulating tools to help you feel safe. But also, what if you warmed up the weather by allowing your feelings? And so you can kind of, again, kind of taking this analogy way too far, because that's what I do with my analogies. You can either add more, thank you, Liz. You can add in more warm weather, whatever, hat, gloves, et cetera, to protect you from the stress or the feelings or the whatever. Or you could get better at turning the temperature up. So you're going from like cold, frozen tundra Canada to where I live in nice sunny Florida, where it's, a little bit warmer out here, by allowing your feelings and letting your feelings come up. So anywho, that's my analogy for today. Let me know what you think. Let me know what questions you have about that analogy, where you're like, I kind of get it, but this part of it doesn't make sense because, it's still in beta stage. Anywho's, let's have some coaching. We only have one person raise their hand so far, y'all. It's gonna be a short call. But we're gonna have Sandy come on up to coach. And hopefully, while I'm coaching with Sandy, we'll have some other people raise their hand. And here comes Sandy. Fantastic. When you are ready, Sandy, please unmute and share your video. I'm going to ask you to unmute. I can see you. Yay.
Lizzie,
Hey, Sandy, how you doing?
I'm doing really well. I
Great to
liked
see
your
you.
analogy.
Thank
That makes
you.
sense to me.
Excellent.
I would like for you to coach me through some feelings that I'm having about I'm wanting to go back to some diet mentality and make some corrections. I'm noticing that I'm trying to kind of think of calories again and I've been a member for a long time, and I lost down to my goal weight once, and then I thought, oh, good, I'm here. Now I can go back to the way I used to do things, put the weight back on, typical story. I put it up back on completely.
Great.
Then on August 1st, I decided I was going to, if I did this once, I can do it again. And I have lost down almost back down to my goal weight. And what I did was I set a goal for myself that I started August 1st. And then by Christmas, I had a goal to reach and I beat it by a pound. And I was just thrilled. I called it phase one. And
Okay.
then I thought, after that, I'm going to do phase two and get down to what I think my goal weight is. I don't even know really what my goal weight is. I'm going to find out as I'm going. So I started phase two, and for whatever reason, now I'm thinking, oh, okay, I'm not wanting to do what I did to get to phase one. And I'm noticing I'm a daily weigher. And what really helped me in phase one was I made myself like just a simple table, and I weigh daily, and I put it on my daily plan. And then on Friday, I enter my weight. That's weigh-in day. And then I kept that table and I could see the fluctuations, that it's not, the weight doesn't just come off a pound a week. Sometimes it goes up a little bit, down a little bit, up a little bit. But then the average in phase one came out to a pound a week and I lost 25 pounds.
Nice.
Yeah. So then I start phase two and I make my new table. And this time, when I weigh daily, my weight is going up 4 pounds a day. Like it goes up 4 pounds, it drops 4 pounds, it goes up 3 pounds, it goes down. And I'm like, what? Why is this so much more than just a pound or two? Why is it 4 pounds? And then logically, I'm thinking, okay, it could be inflammation, it could be, my workouts or something like that. But then there's this little bit of panic. Like, I need to recalibrate and I need to do so much more than what I did in phase one. I need to start counting calories. I need to start, and I'm wanting to jump back to what I used to do, even though logically I know that's not what got you where you're at. So I went back through all of my phase one numbers and then started on my phase two. And actually, I'm still on 1 pound a week. But these daily numbers are jumping up and down so much that it kind of makes me think I need, okay, maybe I'm working out too much. Maybe I'm working out not enough. Maybe I need to
Okay, let's get some
check how many
foundational
calories
questions.
I'm doing. Okay.
So, in your mind, what is the difference between phase one and phase two? Is it simply I hit a number on the scale and now I'm getting further?
That's it. That's
Okay.
it.
What, if anything, is the difference in your behavior between phase one and phase two?
Nothing really.
Nothing really, or nothing literally?
I just feel a little bit of panic, like maybe this is not going to, maybe I'm as low as I can ever go. Maybe I won't be able to get there. And I'd like to lose 10 more. And those
Okay.
last 10, I've got it set in my head that those last 10 are going to be so hard.
So there's a possibility that the anxiousness of like, oh, I've got to really dial it in. I've got to, really work hard and do more is
Right.
increasing your stress, which is increasing your cortisol, which is increasing your water retention. That is a possibility. Now, Melissa and Jean suggested in the chat, it could also be that your battery need, sorry, your scale needs some batteries. That could,
Okay.
like, let's just cover all the bases there. That could be a thing.
Okay.
Give me a little bit more detail on the scale is going up 4 pounds, down 4 pounds. Like, how often is that happening?
Let me look at my notes here. It's actually I can tell a difference in what I'm like if I eat certain foods the next morning, the scale will go up,
Tell me
even
about
though.
that.
Okay, like if it's very salty, if there's and I've noticed that if I eat salmon the night before, the scale will go down the next day. So I'm like, what is it did that before in phase one, but only 1 or 2 pounds. But now it's like some days it's 3 or 4 pounds. So I just wonder. And also I'm wondering, I tend to be a person that's all or nothing, and I work out to a fault sometimes. I love working out and I have a schedule, but so I have this tendency to really, this is not enough. I've got to do more. This weight was good, so I've got to do more weights. And I know that about myself. So I do 10,000 steps a day. And Monday, Wednesday, Friday, I do weights. Upper body weights, and then Tuesday, Thursday's Pilates. And I think, well, maybe I'm working out too much. Maybe my body is, trying to recalibrate to that much working out. I don't
Is there anything different in your workouts between phase one and phase
know.
two?
No.
Okay. If your workouts are the same and they're, mostly the same intensity, like perhaps you've increased your weights a couple pounds, but like it's basically the same intensity, same amount of time. I don't think that's going to be a factor. Like it sounds like you are a pretty regular exerciser. You've been exercising for how long? Months, years?
Months.
Okay. But if you were doing this same kind of exercise in phase one and consistently losing a pound a week, that doesn't tell me like suddenly you hit, whatever number on the scale and
Right.
your body's responding differently to your exercise. That doesn't sound true to me. I think interestingly, you're noticing a pattern with certain types of foods. And the fact that you're a daily weigher, especially if you can look at that as data, could work to your advantage. That, like,
Okay.
instead of being like, oh my God, what is happening? It must
Right.
be, the Mercury is in retrograde. It's more like, huh, let's collect some data here. What
Yes.
did I eat last night? It's not that I was bad. It's not that I, wrecked all my progress. What could I just observe about what I ate last night and what I'm observing on the scale? The scale is a very blunt instrument, so it's not necessarily always a one-to-one, but, yes, salty food is gonna increase the scale. For example,
Right.
In my house, on most every Friday, we have turkey burgers and fries. And I am absolutely consistent. The scale is up on Saturday because the turkey burgers have salt and the fries are a starchy carb that are delicious and worth it. But I'm like, okay, I totally expect the scale to be up on Saturday because of what I ate.
Okay.
No big deal. Do you think that could be the pattern?
I do. And I think maybe I'm just being impatient. Like I mentally thought phase two was going to be hard because I've heard Corinne talk about, when you reach a certain point, you have to recalibrate. And there's a part of me kind of panicking, like, I don't want to eat even less than I'm eating now. I don't want to let go of that. I, like you said, with the coat and the cold, I want to hang on to it. I don't want to make big changes. Then when I looked at my numbers right before I came on here, I thought, what am I getting so panicky about? My numbers are still going down 1 pound a week. There really isn't any data that shows that I need to make these big adjustments. I think maybe I'm getting panicky because of just a thought that I have that's not even correct. Maybe I don't need to change anything.
I think you really hit on it there, which is you have this thought that phase two is going to be hard. And so, with that thought, how do you feel?
Yeah, I think that's it, Lizzie. It's, I want to go eat to make it feel a little better.
Interesting.
Like I do. I it makes the urge stronger. Like I don't want to give up that quote coat.
Sure.
I don't want to eat less. So when I start thinking phase two is going to be even harder and phase one was, then I start feeling like, no, maybe I'm fine staying right where I'm at.
But do you have to eat less?
Maybe I don't.
Like, what's not working?
Actually, when I look at my numbers, nothing, it is working. I just need to be a little more patient. It's just a little bit of panic. Running to run, wanting to run back to calories in, the old diet mentality. Like, what if this doesn't work? What if the last 10 pounds is so hard? Maybe it won't be that hard. Maybe it's just the same thing.
So if you kept eating exactly the way you were eating in phase one, which it sounds like you pretty much have been, like, basically, I was like, ride that train. Like, if it's working, why change it?
That resonates. Yeah, that's it. That's it. I just need to stay the course. It's just a little bump in the road. I just made it about turning a page on a table. And then, oh boy, here we are in phase two. Ooh, time to buckle down. Time to hit the hard stuff. Maybe it's not going to be hard at all. Maybe I need to just keep going.
And what's interesting too, like, I don't know what numbers you're talking about, but if, like, let's say, so let's say in phase one, you went from 180 to 160. Like, the difference between 176 to 174 was 2 pounds, whereas the difference between 160 to 158 was 2 pounds.
Wow, yeah, that's right.
But your brain is like, oh my God, it's phase two.
That's it. That's it. I can already feel that. Like, oh, it's just my brain going a little haywire. Thinking, here we are. I knew this was coming. This is going to be hard. And maybe it's not going to be hard at all. Maybe I need to just keep doing it. And another thought that makes me feel better is just wait till Friday and see. Nothing bad has happened yet. Friday, put your number in, and if just use it as data. And if the number is up, then make it an adjustment. And if the number is down, see, there you go. You're doing fine.
Another thing I would say too is, whenever you're like, I'm not sure what phase two is going to look like, I would just say, what are you currently doing now that you can't see yourself still doing in
Right.
the 5 years?
Right.
So tell
Right.
me about your lifestyle now in phase one. Is there
Yeah.
anything that you're like, I can't keep doing that?
No, actually, it's been fairly easy. Until I hit that goal, then for some reason I decided it was going to be much harder. And I actually been pretty pleased. Like, I can live like this the rest of my life. This is absolutely doable. And then not then Christmas Day was when that was my goal, and I looked down and I was like, wow, I beat it by a pound, even a pound better than I thought. Yay. And then the next day it was like, now it's time to knuckle down.
It's interesting, like going back to the analogy of the cold weather and the coat, it's almost like you were hanging out in a very nice temperate environment, and then you turn that switch on December 26th and you're like, all right, cue the wind, cue the snow, let's go blizzard. And like you were
That's
doing
exactly
fine.
it.
And so suddenly you're like, well, where's my coat? Where's my comfort?
I've
And
got to
it's
run
like
back to it. Yes.
the blizzard just was created by your thoughts.
That's perfect. Looking out the window right now and seeing like 12 inches of snow. This is the perfect analogy. It's true. Just keep going. Just keep going, Sadie. You're doing fine. No urgency is there. No emergency has happened. Just ride it out. That makes me feel, yeah, I can feel that in my nervous system. That panic.
So good.
Nothing has gone wrong. You're doing fine. Just keep the course. Keep the
And
course.
also, it is so normal for us as humans. I absolutely do it too, which is just like we get all torqued up in our heads. And when that happens to me, here's a set of questions that can really help you kind of just settle yourself down, like kind of turn down the temperature on your own mental weather. The questions are, what's the story I'm telling myself? What am I making that mean? What am I afraid of? And what else could be true? So I
I
will send
love
you
it.
into the chat. So if
I
you're
love that.
ever like, oh my gosh, the weather is getting all kinds of blizzardy and chilly in my brain, ask yourself those four questions and bring them to Ask Coaches and we can help you walk through them.
I love that. I love that. And truthfully, as you're talking, I'm thinking, what was special about Christmas? Well, the table fit on my paper for one thing. So that was my goal date. And the date was Christmas, which is easy to remember. But truthfully, there is no difference between phase one and phase two. It just is a continuation. So I just made it an arbitrary, I need to hit that by Christmas. But the truth is, life just goes on. Phase two is nothing. There is no phase two. It's just keep living the life.
Which is interesting because we have the maintenance call coming up later. So I've been doing some prep for the maintenance call, and the difference. One thing that I like to say is like the difference between a dieter and a normal eater is a dieter follows rules or rebels against the rules. A normal eater makes choices that have outcomes, like I had salty food, the scale is up. Okay, no big deal. But they're just making choices that are
I
like,
love
this is how
that.
I live my life, rather than I was good or I was bad or I have to follow the rules or not, that type of thing.
You're right. And logically, I don't even know that it's possible to gain 4 pounds of fat in a day. It can't be that. So, my brain thinks, oh no, you're putting it all back on. But the truth is, no. And my clothes fit differently. I feel different. The other day, a memory popped up on my phone. And there was a picture. It was just, I just looked at it and my face, the difference in my face just stunned me. I remember that the first time that I lost the weight, how surprising it is. Because I feel like, no, nothing's changing that much. There's not that much happening. And then it's like, what, suddenly one day you realize, wait, this, my clothes fit. Oh my goodness, my face is so much thinner. And it surprises me that weight loss is not what I thought it was going to be, like just, it's going to be steady, a pound a week. People are going to start saying, oh, you look so much thinner. And the truth is, it's just like one day you just kind of notice it happened. It's about staying the course, just keep doing it. Then all of a sudden you start seeing the wins, little wins. Oh yeah, this has helped me a lot. I can already feel like I don't need to count calories. I don't want to go back there. I don't want to go back to that.
Can I give you a little bit of homework?
Absolutely.
All right. So you said that you lost the weight before and you put it back
Yes.
on because you're like, oh, I
Yes.
can just go back to my normal stuff.
Yes.
So your homework that I'd love for you to just think about and maybe write to me and ask coaches is,
Yes.
what was your mindset then when you lost the weight and then it began
Yes.
to come back on?
Yes.
And what would you like your mindset to be different this time for you to not only just lose the weight, and hear me, everybody, when I say this, for you to be able to live at a lower weight? Because nobody
Oh,
wants to just lose weight.
right.
You want to live at a lower weight. So what I want you to think about is what needs to be different in your mindset.
Okay.
And let's talk about it and then ask coaches.
So when I go to ask coaches, do I just leave a attention Lizzie, or how do I do that to make sure it comes to you? Just,
Sure. Yeah, we can totally
yeah.
do that. Great.
Yeah. This has helped me a lot. Thank you very much, Coach
Amazing.
Lindsay.
You're so welcome, Sandy. Thank you for raising your hand. I'm glad we got to chat today. Really
My
good stuff.
pleasure.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Take care. All right. Guess what, team? I got a couple of Q&As, but no hands raised. So let's raise those hands, shall we? While I work on the Q&A. Okay. Mary says, I like your analogy. Question: how do we learn to trust and take the steps to go forward? Again, knowing what to do, but how to trust and let go and take that step, especially when eating is so comfortable. Taking the first step is so hard. Thank you, Mary. That is such a good question. So, in this analogy, like your cold weather can be unique to you. Like perhaps you grew up in a household where it was like, suck up your feelings, you're meant to be seen, not heard. And so feeling your feelings is hard. Maybe that is what is difficult for you. And so that's why you're holding on to that coat of food, which is hard to move forward. So what I would long the punchline of what I'm getting to is please write to us and ask coaches so we can help you, Mary, or you, anybody, figure out what is the thing that your nervous system is afraid of that it doesn't want to let go of food for. So it could be feeling your feelings. It could be perhaps you grew up in a household where a parent was volatile or like emotions were unpredictable. And so you learned to be a people pleaser of like, if I can just manage everyone else's feelings, then I will feel safe. And so now you are an adult and you manage everyone else's feelings and you don't take breaks because everyone else needs to be taken care of before you take care of you. And so your brain is afraid to let go of food because taking a break and like letting someone else be responsible for their own feelings feels dangerous. So, to answer your question of like, how do we learn to trust to take steps forward? It is you identify what is the thing that does not feel safe to you, and then we build safety around it. So, just like with Sandy, we questioned, what is going to be different? Is it going to be so hard? So, in her example, the thing that was scary was phase two. But we kind of peeled back the layers and we're like, is this threatening? Is this scary? And so, like, if feeling your feelings feels scary, we can give you tools to do that and little like dip your baby toe into the water types of ways. So it's not overwhelming, it's just a little bit. If you're a people pleaser and you're afraid to take rest, we can kind of peel that black back and ask, what are you afraid of? What could be a teensy way to you to begin to feel safe with doing that in a way that can build safety and trust in your nervous system so that you don't need to rely on food as much? Really good question. All right. So, Anonymous says, my daughter, I am breastfeeding, has a milk protein intolerance. And so I have to cut all dairy and soy out of my diet. But I'm getting to the point where I can try to start reintroducing dairy and soy to see how she tolerates it. Any suggestions for how to do that smartly? I haven't been restricting food types at all beyond the allergy requirements, but some of my main comfort foods have dairy and soy in them, so they've been off limits. Okay, so what I'm reading between the lines there is you would like to bring some dairy and soy back into your eating patterns. You've not, again, I'm kind of reading between the lines. It sounds like you have felt restricted from them because your daughter has an intolerance. And I'm guessing that you are afraid of going a little bit overboard. So, number one, like the short answer to your direct question is like, how do I kind of build that in smartly? Obviously, you do it a little bit at a time. You just, test in a little. But that may not feel like you, I don't know if you feel like you can trust yourself, like let's say around ice cream or something. I would ask the deeper question is, what is your nervous system asking for when it wants the dairy or the soy? Again, let's just use ice cream as a substitute. When your brain is like, oh my God, I just would love some ice cream. What is your nervous system asking you for? Comfort, relief, rest. I mean, if you're breastfeeding, you got a little one, good grief. You're tired. I get it. So, like, what is your nervous system saying that it wants? And how can you give yourself that as well as a teensy bit of the dairy and soy to protect your daughter? Whenever we have an urge, that is not a problem. That is a signal. It's a signal from your nervous system saying, hey, there's something going on in here. And we just sort of smother it up with food and we're like, be quiet. Instead, what I want you to learn is to be like, oh, I'm having this urge. What is my nervous system trying to tell me? And so I can look at it and be like, oh, my nervous system is trying to tell me I am exhausted and I would really like someone to take care of me since I've been taking care of an infant for 18 hours. Oh, well, that makes sense. Can you do that by, cuddling up on the couch? Can you do that by taking a nap? You could also do that by having some ice cream. There are different options. None of them are morally good or bad. They're just different options that you can choose. Okay. We've got Delronda says, I am a type 2 diabetic who can no longer afford Ozempic, so I'm trying to avoid sugar, flour, and starch. Any special considerations regarding that? I feel like it's a lot of diet think, but it's like I'm allergic to carbs. Good point. As a type 2 diabetic, that's going to certainly have an impact on your sugars, and so there are reasons to avoid those kinds of foods. Same kind of thing. What is the urge telling you? So all of us have urges for sugar, flour, starch, those kinds of things. They taste good, right? They're delicious. You have a medical reason to avoid those foods, but that also feels restrictive. And so I would encourage you to look at it from the other perspective of like, your brain could probably answer, why do I want sugar, flour, starch? Let's see if you can also answer, what are the reasons why I don't want sugar, flour, or starch? What are the reasons why I don't want to go down that path? What are the benefits from choosing different foods? When you say, are there any special considerations? I would love for you to elaborate. It sounds like what you're trying to do is avoid diet thinking. And so, again, going back to what I said a minute ago, a dieter follows rules or rebels against the food rules. A normal eater makes choices that have logical outcomes. So, if you want to eat in a way that supports your health and doesn't trigger your diabetes, you want to, instead of following rules, you want to make choices. So, I want to choose the foods that are going to support me. Of course, I'm going to have urges for sugar, flour, whatever, but those aren't a problem. They're signals. This urge for a sugar, what is it trying to tell me? It's trying to tell me I want a reward. I want to relax. Instead of telling yourself I've been so good, tell yourself like I have been really taking care of myself and there's a good reason why. I really like feeling good. But if Delron, if I am kind of not understanding your question about special considerations, please write back into the Q&A and let me know. Okay. Let's see. We've got Laura and then Melissa. So we'll promote Laura. And there we go. I think Laura's coming up.
Hello, one second, let me get my video turned on.
Great. Hey, Laura.
Hello there. So I'm at work, taking a quick break, and I'm moving. And I know Corinne doesn't like the moving as much. So there we go. That's
I
no
can handle
motion
it.
sickness. Here I go.
Great to
Hi.
see you. Thank you for being here today, especially while you're at work. I'm at work too.
Right? Yeah, I was listening, and then I thought, oh, okay, well, here's my chance to jump on when you said no one had a hand raised. Because I'm in the moment, I'm in the throes of stuff right now. Like, I'm even like clenching my hands, and
Let's talk about it.
whew, here we go. So, my husband said something to me today that threw me in a spiral, and I recognized it, and it doesn't matter what he said. Doesn't matter. It's my reaction to it like that. I know that that's my circumstance. And I said something to him in the moment because I didn't want it to pass. And maybe I could have focused, maybe I could have like settled myself a little bit more. But regardless, I got it off my chest in what I feel was an okay way. There was no yelling, but there we go. I'm still stewing over it, and I'm trying so hard not to. And I instantly wanted to turn the food. Like, it was such a whoo. I didn't even like pack anything to bring for lunch. I'll just eat whatever I want, was my thought. And on the drive, I was like, no, that's not what we want. So I feel myself going both ways. And I am just trying to stay on the path. Like, I'm working on this presentation right now, and it's talking about, we talk about our why, but I'm talking about like the big why, that why in the road, like that moment right here where you can either go this way or you can go this way. And I equated it with that, like I am at that fork, and just because you choose a direction doesn't make what you're going to go through any easier. Like, it doesn't make it, you just know what path you're on. And so I know that right now I'm going this way in a path that is trying to re-regulate my brain without food, and I'm trying to do something different, and it's uncomfortable. I get it. But there's also a huge part of me that I get wants to jump over in this other lane and just go eat. And so how do I just try to take it down a little bit more and a little bit more to where when I do get hungry, I know that I'm eating for real hungry, and I'm not eating to try to pacify myself or soothe myself. That's where I feel like I'm.
So going back to the original analogy, you've got some stormy weather, some cold, windy weather in your brain from the story you're telling yourself about what transpired this morning. So perhaps we can warm up the weather in your brain. And the way we
Okay.
do that is by examining what's the story you're telling yourself and what are you making it mean? Are you willing to talk about that?
Yes.
Okay. What's the
Yes. I mean,
story?
are we talking about the story like with my, I mean, to me, it's with my husband. It doesn't really matter. Like that, to me, that's a little bit irrelevant. Like, he said something to me that I didn't like, and you know,
Well, what are you
and I
stewing
didn't
about?
I, about, I just want to eat. I still want to eat over it. Like, I just still want to eat
Okay.
just
So there
to,
is a thought
okay.
we have not yet defined. And as we know, the think, feel, do cycle, the thought is leading to a feeling. That feeling, are you able to identify the feeling? Are you able to label it?
Me, I feel like it's like I feel like I'm above regulation. Like I'm the feeling is a little keyed up, maybe a little like it's in here, a little keyed up, and I just want to take it down.
We'll go with that. So there's a thought we out there led to the feeling of keyed up. And your nervous system is like, ew, yikes, I don't want to feel that.
I don't
Let's put
like
some food
that.
on top of it and make it go away. And so we can do a couple things. We can examine the thought, or we can help you allow the feeling.
I think it's going to be allow the feeling because I was like, okay, I get what you're saying. And to me, the thought is, I don't like what you said to me. That's my thought. I don't like what he said to me. Now, I expressed that to him. It, like, there's not even any, like, there's not any re residual over it because I processed that pretty quickly. And then I told him, hey, I didn't like that. Like, I didn't. And so he knows that. So that's done. I still don't like it. And that's probably still keeping me keyed up, but it's really done. Like, you know, he's a good man. He'll probably rate, he'll self-reflect. We might talk about it later on. So that's fine. Like, that's good. So yeah, it's even though I didn't like the thought and I handled it, I'm still keyed up. So how do I handle the
Amazing.
emotion without food until I know eventually I will regulate down?
Since you're at work, are you in a place where we could just talk through your feelings briefly?
Yes, I'm by myself. And when I said I raised my hand, I'm on a Zoom call. I'm gonna
Fantastic.
take off and take my break. And yes, so
Okay.
I.
So here's what we're going to do together. I'm going to ask you, Laura, what are you feeling? And you're going to try and reply with roughly one word. Anything counts. And then you're going to repeat after me, and I'm going to say, I'm allowed to feel, fill in the blank word. That feeling is allowed to be here. I don't have to fix it. And then together, you and I are going to take a big breath. We're going to breathe it all the way out. And we're going to do that 5 times because feelings are often in layers. If the same feeling comes up all 5 times, that's totally fine. If something new comes up, that's totally fine as well. We're just going to roll with it and see what happens. Sound good?
Okay.
Okay. So, Laura, what are you feeling?
Anxious.
Repeat after me. I'm allowed to feel anxious.
I'm allowed to feel anxious.
I don't have to fix feeling anxious.
I don't have to fix feeling anxious.
Feeling anxious is allowed to be here.
Feeling anxious is allowed to be here.
Let's take a big breath together. Big breath. Let it all the way out. Laura, what are you feeling?
Emotional.
I am allowed to feel emotional.
I am allowed to feel emotional.
I don't even have to know why I'm feeling emotional.
I don't even have to know why I feel emotional.
I am allowed to feel emotional right now.
I am allowed to feel emotional right now.
Big breath. Let it all the way out. Oh, look at those shoulders drop. So good. We got 3 more times.
I don't know if I can handle
I
three more
believe
layers,
in
but
you,
that's okay.
Laura.
It's okay. It's all right. Okay.
Laura, what are you feeling?
Disrespected.
I am allowed to feel disrespected.
I am allowed to feel disrespected.
It makes so much sense why I feel disrespected.
That makes so much sense why I feel disrespected.
I don't have to do anything to fix feeling disrespected right now.
I don't have to do anything to fix feeling disrespected right now.
I'm allowed to just feel it.
I'm allowed to just feel it.
Big breath. Oh. 2 more times, you're doing great.
Okay.
Laura, what are you feeling?
Proud.
I am allowed to feel proud.
Am allowed to feel proud.
I don't have to do anything to fix feeling proud.
I don't have to do anything to fix feeling proud.
Feeling proud is allowed to be here right now.
Feeling proud is allowed to be here right now.
Big breath. Let it all the way out. Last time. Laura, what are you feeling?
So proud.
I'm allowed to feel proud.
I'm allowed to feel proud.
It makes sense why I feel proud.
Makes sense while I feel proud.
The feeling of pride and feeling proud of myself is totally allowed to be here.
Feeling of pride and feeling proud of myself is totally allowed to be here right now.
Big breath. Doesn't it feel good to let your shoulders drop like that? I'm like, ugh.
That's a lot of processing, Lizzie.
Isn't it crazy how much processing you can do in like less than 5 minutes?
Right.
Now, Laura, I would love for you to tell everyone who's listening, how are you doing? Are you surviving?
I mean, I feel much better. I do feel much better. It was amazing to peel back those layers and to see where the emotions came up and the disrespect. Like, that's what the ultimate issue was with what my husband said. I know he didn't mean it. He has no idea. I'll have to talk to him a little bit more about that. I get it. Like, I know where that came from. And so, yeah. But then to really just bring that up and to realize it and to go, wow, you know, I know I didn't realize how much that brought up in you. Cool. But I'm proud of you for speaking up immediately. And then proud of you for hanging in there along with the anxiety that it was causing and
Let
getting
me.
some more of the root of it to understand.
Yeah.
Shit. All right.
So, Laura, and to everyone listening, congratulations. You just felt your feelings and you
Yeah.
survived to tell the tale.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's crazy how simple but profound that exercise can be,
Right.
that you just like nobody ever taught us, I can feel something and I don't have to fix it. 'Cause we're like, no, I gotta fix it.
Right.
And
Right.
eventually, like as you said, like you realize disrespect came up and you're like, okay, that is something I will want to address. So it's not like you're
Right.
just gonna sit there and wallow in disrespect. Yes, you are gonna take action.
Right.
But before you can move forward, there is that moment of like, let's let this
Yeah.
process through before we
Right.
move forward.
Yeah. Now that was great. That was really, and I do feel a lot better. I still feel, I just feel lower. I still feel, emotional. I was going to say tired. It's not really tired. I still feel emotional, but it's not up here emotional. It's no, it's more settled emotions. And it makes sense. It actually just makes so much sense to process through it like that.
And especially too, when you're walking around and being like, I had this conversation, I realized why I was upset. Why is it still bothering me? What's my problem? You know,
Yeah,
it's like, of course.
I think I was keyed up on that path.
Yeah. And of course
Yeah,
your brain is
yeah.
like, let's eat food and make it go away.
Right.
And that was also very specifically, Laura, when you said disrespected, I said, I don't even have to know why I feel, no, it was emotional, excuse me. I don't even have
Right.
to know why I feel emotional.
Right.
Because if you're anything like me, I tend to judge myself for having feelings of like, why am I so angry? This is stupid. And like, then I'm like adding feelings on top of the feelings. So
Right.
that thought of just saying, I don't even have to know why I'm feeling this way. I'm just allowed
Yeah.
to feel it is like, oh, it like lets the steam out of the tea kettle.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Amazing. Is there
Thank you.
anything else? You're welcome. Anything else you want us to talk about?
Well, I mean, are we good? Do we have a lot of other hands, or just like one or few other? I mean, are there other people who need to get coached? But I do have another issue.
We got one more hand raised, so let's talk
Okay.
about your issue and then we'll get
Okay,
to
really
Melissa
quick,
after
other
that.
issue, and I did take it to MJ on Wednesday just a little bit. I am on week 5 of the restart course, which was great, and I'm enjoying it. However, I have not, well, I'm not going to say I haven't lost anything. And my last weigh-in, I was down 0.7, and so I'll take it. That was before that, it was literally the same, the same, the same, and now 0.7. And there is a part of me that's like, you know, okay. When I get to maintenance, then I'm gonna love seeing the same number every week, but I'm not at that point yet. And so not panic, you know, I'm not panicking because I have had a lot of stuff happening right when we, like, this is week 5, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, I just got off night shift and I'm on day shift. So I'm regulating my sleep patterns, my circadian rhythm is finally kind of getting back, but my sleep is on point, my water is on point. Planning. I have been planning for the most part this week, a little less, but and planning realistically, I feel like. So it really is hunger and enough is what I'm overeating. And it's still sometimes I hear the thought, sometimes I don't. Sometimes I'm not even like marking it on I'm writing it down and I'm assessing, but I'm not actually like checking back in with myself to say, but were you really hungry, or did you stop it enough? And so I'm having issues with that, and I don't want to like jump to it right away. Part of me is just like, well, let's just still keep reacclimating to making the plan and to Getting your sleep regulated, which I feel like it is doing really good with, and making sure you're getting your water in, which I'm pretty solid on. So, when do I guess I just don't jump to that point until I'm ready, because I'm still a little resistant on it. So just taking the wins
Well,
as or do I jump to it?
what is the subtle story underneath that's like, I've been in this 5 weeks and the scale's not moving. What's your brain making that mean?
That it's I'm older and it's not going to work like it did before, that it's going to be harder, that it's I don't have time for this anymore like I did 7 years ago when I first joined and I lost it so easily. I really like I am comparing to how it was before when I tried to really like make it like a whole like mental reset and just because I'm like right at when I first joined, so I lost quite a bit of weight and I have gained it back. And I'm not as young as I used to be. I'm not as, and probably some shame and some, shit. I can't believe that I've gathered, that I've gained all this weight back again. There's some of that in there too.
Okay, so we got some stories underneath that, like 5 weeks, WTF.
Right. Why haven't
What?
I lost it all?
Yeah, damn it. What else? Like how, what else could you tell yourself about the changes you've been making in the time that has passed?
And I have said I have journaled about this a bit. I will say that if I never lost another pound again, like let's just take the weight out of the factor. I am speaking kinder to myself. I am for the most part calmer than what I have been in the past, and I do love like I'm the learning more of just the home base and regulating our nervous system. I think that was honestly the factor that I missed the time before, that I was always very keyed up and it was exciting. It was fun and I enjoyed myself and I really thought that I was losing it for the last time, but I don't know how emotionally regulated I was then
Sure.
looking at
Yeah.
look on it now. And so like, oh, okay. Like if I gained it all back just so that I could learn this aspect of it, I don't feel like that will be a waste. Because it has been that kind of impactful to like just me creating my own safety. So there are good things to it in that sense that I am grateful for. Like I say, I'm happy about the weight gain, but I'm grateful for those lessons that are learned.
Yeah. Can I offer you some additional ways to look at it?
Absolutely.
So I love that you're, looking for this the bright side, the silver lining. There's lots of wins that you are getting.
Yeah.
And I also want to acknowledge, like, and you want to lose weight.
Yeah.
So instead of looking at the changes you've made and the results you have had in the last 5 weeks as like, this isn't working, I'm older, this is so hard, instead of making it mean that, let's make it mean neutral data and information.
Okay.
So hypothetically, you have adjusted, how much you're eating. You have paid attention to waiting for hunger, to stopping at enough. And your data is giving you some information. You're not gaining. You've lost 0.7, not as much as you want. So it's giving you information that like we're just tweaking little variables in our science experiment.
Okay.
And so it's not, that like the scale is against you. It's not that food is calling to you from the pantry. It's like your body is just telling you, here's what the adjustments have done so far, and let's either see how this plays out, or when your nervous system is ready, you can say, am I open to the idea of adjusting something new, of tweaking a new lever or the same lever just a little bit more? For
Okay.
example, I've been in maintenance for years, and over the summer had a lovely summer, but it was stressful. Crept up in my maintenance range by like October, November. Of course, I live and breathe this every day, leave two bites behind. And I was like, duh, I could leave two bites behind. Like, really, seriously forgot about it. So since November, I've been just, let's see if I can leave two bites behind. Not painful. It's no big deal. I don't miss them. And now I am like lower than my maintenance range. I'm like, I haven't seen this weight since I was like 18. But it's like, what is a little tweak you're willing to just try and see what happens? Now, granted, it took 6 weeks for that change to start to happen. Like nothing happened for 6 weeks. But I was like, let's just see. So,
Okay.
how are you feeling about that?
I mean, It sounds doable. What I'm hearing is small tweaks, but with patience. So, okay.
And let your data tell you what's happening. Instead of it
Okay.
like it's not fair, be like, okay, what's going on here? And if your brain says it's not fair, that is such a great signal. It's not a problem, it's a signal
Right.
that your brain is telling you a story about like, oh, I have some expectations here, or there's something I don't want to feel or I don't want to let go of because I don't feel safe to let go of it yet. How
Okay.
come? What else is going on here?
Okay. Let that be my signal. Okay. Yeah. Let the data tell the story. I like that. I do. I do like that. Okay. I have to get back out to work. Thank
Okay.
you. I
Thank
appreciate
you.
it very much.
You're so welcome. Have a great rest of your day. Thank you so much for
Thank
raising your
you.
hand. All right. Bye. Wow, that was so good, right? All right, we got Melissa. I will promote her to panelists, and real quick, we've got a Q&A or two. Okay, Kathy says, if I decide to eat when I'm not hungry, what does it mean to stop it enough? Well, technically, if you that's technically an overeat, like eat when you're not hungry. Means that you are having an overeat. What does it mean to stop it enough? Again, it's kind of like you're still tuning into your body. So enough can be tricky to find because a lot of us are looking at like, what is my very clear as a bell enough signal? And the thing is, enough doesn't really have usually a very clear signal. Enough is like the absence of a feeling. I'm not hungry. I'm not full. I'm at enough. Full is I can tell I ate. There's a little bit of pressure in my belly. I am not uncomfortable. I could totally go for a walk, but that's full. So enough is like the absence of a feeling. So we'll go with that. And there's a couple more Q&As, but we will get to those after we talk to Melissa, my friend. Hello. So good to see you.
Hi.
Hi. How are things?
Good, good, good. We have 10 inches of snow and it's still supposed to snow until like, oh yeah, you have family in Columbus till like 9 o'clock. It's kind of crazy.
Wow, that is crazy, especially
Yeah.
for this Florida girl. I was
Yeah.
like
All right. So I had last time I like forever ago, I had all those surgeries. So I was done with my surgeries in April. I had the four lipedema surgeries. And then in August, my gallbladder decided to die. I know. And so I was doing like my July, June, and July. It was like everything was on point. I was exercising. I was meeting with a trainer and I was doing all the things. And then, so what happened is I had signals. Like I thought that I was constipated, like I had to go to a follow-up out of town. I had really bad pain a couple times, but I was like, oh, I'm constipated. I have pelvic floor dysfunction. Except like over the weekend when I came back, I started itching really bad. I went to the ED. My liver enzymes were 10 times normal. They're like, we're keeping you and your gallbladder is coming out tomorrow. So I realized I like gaslit myself.
Okay.
Right. Like, because everyone said, like, your gallbladder, it hurts so bad you have to go to the hospital. I'm like, I mean, it hurt really bad. It hurt to breathe, but it went away in an hour. So
Who needs to breathe? Whatever.
I know. Yeah. So since then, it feels like things are hard. Like, I can make a plan, but I don't do it every day. And then the movement, I want to get back to some movement, which I know isn't like where all the weight loss, I just felt better, but it's just everything feels really hard since I had. That surgery threw me a lot because it wasn't planned, and I don't know, I'm just struggling with that.
Okay. Tell me a little bit about it feels hard. Can you give me an example?
Like even just thinking, I am going down and working on getting the basement set up and making it look nicer. So like we have a tapestry we're going to do and things, but even just going down and just being like, I'm going to walk for 5 minutes just seems hard. And like making a plan, I'm not doing that. And grab assing sometimes in the evening. It's just like, I'm having a hard time to figure out what the smallest thing I can do to start like building again. You know what I mean? Because my brain's going
Sure.
this, because it's like trying to go back to July, but I can't start there again.
Well, yeah. So you already know the steps, like make it smaller, and so you have 5 minutes and so forth. So instead of us going down the route of like, how can we make it so tiny that it's easy? I think you've already probably tried that a little bit, sounds like. Let's look at what is getting in the way. So go down to the basement and did you say like walk on the treadmill for 5 minutes? Okay, so when you think of doing that, what comes up?
I think maybe it's just not thinking about it. Like I could go down there now and I'd be fine. It's just maybe that's just getting it back into my not workflow, but like my daily flow.
I want to just be make sure, like, is it really that you're not thinking about it, or you think about it and you're like, I don't want to?
No, I think it's that I'm not thinking about things. I feel like all my routines got off. Like I feel like even evening routines and like everything is just off because I'm supposed to use this medication at night for, pelvic floor, and I haven't done that in a week. And it's just like that kind of stuff just feels, I feel discombobulated.
Okay. So the reason why I was asking the difference, like, is it, are you just not thinking about it, or I am thinking about it, but it's hard, is because sometimes it's not that deep. And it's just like, let's put up some structures to make this easier for you. And sometimes it is a little deeper of like, and so the like not thinking about it is it's not that deep. The I am thinking about it, but I don't wanna, there's something getting in the way. There's something sticky, and I would wanna figure that out. But it sounds like it's more the first one where it's more of a structural challenge rather than a like massive, iceberg obstacle if something's underneath the surface. So this was me, and you may remember this from Goals Mastery, of like, this was me with meditation, of like, how freaking hard is it to sit down and just be quiet? And so I tried for years to like become a regular meditator. And two things changed that made it work for me. Number one was I had to figure out when in the day is it happening. I had to bundle it with something that's like, okay, this regularly happens at this time of day, and so I'm bundling my meditation with that thing. And so for me, it happened to be like the kids go to school. I had a couple of minutes between then and going to work. And so it was like, sit the butt down, meditate. And it didn't matter if it was for 2 minutes or 20, it was like, you get credit. So step one was when, decide when. And then step two is if there's something particular like movement, keep track. And it's, make it physical, a piece of paper, a whiteboard, something in your physical environment, so it doesn't disappear into your computer or your phone and you forget to think about it. And then part three, step three is, as you also may recall from Goals Mastery, is like you get credit for any effort whatsoever. There is no like, well, I didn't do 30 minutes. Nope. 1 minute counts, 30 minutes counts. You get the check mark no matter what. So when I say that, what comes to mind?
Yeah, I think that sounds good. I really wish I had just like an assistant to tell me. And I know like and so like the calendar, like I love Corinne's calendar, but that doesn't work for me. I wish I had an assistant that was like, okay, at 8:35, you're going to blah, blah, blah. And at 9 o'clock, you're going to, you know what I mean? Like that's where I get
You
lost.
know, there's this cool new device. It's called Alexa, and you can program it to tell you things. And she's loud.
I did set up my last week. I did set when my alarm goes off, it says, Melissa, take 5 minutes to plan your day. It's she's only said it once now, but take 5 minutes to plan your day. What obstacles are in your way and how can you overcome them?
Well, let's walk through one thing you would like to get back into your routine. It sounds like movement, but you tell me. Movement?
Yeah, I would like to, like when I get home from work, go down, like even just start, 5 minutes, 10 minutes on the treadmill.
Okay, so what time do you get home from work?
About 5:30.
And is it varies or pretty consistent?
It's mostly pretty consistent.
Okay.
Maybe
So
5:45.
do you need to do something first when you get home from work?
No.
Okay. I'm assuming you're in work clothes, and so you're not in movement clothes.
Yeah, but my work clothes I wear like in the winter, I'm wearing like sweater pants. It's just office clothes. Like it's fine. Like to
Okay.
walk on a treadmill, it's no big deal.
Okay. All right. So we're gonna atomic habit this sucker, which is like when I X, then I will Y. And after I do Y, then I will reward. So when I get home from work, I will go downstairs and walk on the treadmill. Standing on the treadmill counts. I don't care if the belt doesn't move. Because I'll bet you, if you get yourself down there and you're standing
Yeah.
on the belt, you're going to make it move.
Right.
The obstacle for you is getting down the stairs.
Yeah.
It's not getting out. So, like, getting on the belt and standing on it without it moving still counts as credit.
Okay, yeah. That's a good. Yeah, 'cause if you want the credit, then you have to get down and stand on the. Yeah, that makes sense.
And then after I stand on the belt or make it move, then I fill in every reward. For me, the check mark is usually my reward, but sometimes we need, like when I was writing my first book, it was before I show up for work, I will sit my butt down and write for 15 minutes. By the way, it didn't have to be good or long. It just was like sit down and write. After I write, then I get a Coke Zero because that was the reward I wanted at the time. You know, over time, like you can adjust your rewards, like, but so, and then I would keep your whatever tracker you use upstairs. So it's in your
Okay.
face.
Yeah, I'll say I'll sit down for 10 minutes because I have been saying sometimes I get home from work and go right to making dinner and then I get stressed out and my husband's like, "Why are you grumpy?" And I was like, "'Cause I want to sit down." So I definitely want to sit down. I think that
Okay.
would be good. And then I can worry about dinner.
So walk me through the sequence.
So when I get home from work, I'll go down to the basement and standing on the treadmill counts to walk and then come back up, get the check mark, and then I will, when that's done, then I'll sit on the couch for 10 minutes.
So the sitting on the couch is your reward.
Yes. Yeah.
Fantastic. Love it, love it, love it. Okay.
Yeah. That sounds good.
Okay.
Things seems you just yeah, it's helpful to have just like a direction, like it's just a path.
And for some lovely, gentle accountability, how about either a week, you know, you can either and ask coaches or to send it to support a week from now. Just say, here's what a week of my experiment turned out. Like I did it
Okay.
once, I did it zero, I did it four times. And I'm going to put a little note in my calendar to hunt you down.
Okay.
Let's say by next Sunday.
Okay, sounds good.
Giving myself a reminder. Reach out to Melissa. Nice.
And then
Okay.
I know that little bit of movement will make me feel better. Like I know the movement's not the weight loss. It just I felt a lot better when I was moving.
Exactly. Exercise is not necessarily something that's going to make the scale move, but it definitely changes your mindset and ch changes your mood. It's a like a domino habit that like it can make other things easier.
Yeah. That sounds easy enough.
Okay, very
All right.
cool. Enjoy getting downstairs and standing on the treadmill.
Thank you.
Amazing. Thanks to see you, Melissa. Or
You
good to see
too.
you, I should say. Take care. Bye. Oh, that was so fun. Okay. We got some Q and A's. I think I changed her role to attendee. Let's see the, there we go. I got some Q and A's, and then we will wrap us up. All right, Del Ronda says, following up here, everything I'm hearing Corinne say pretty much sounds like the magic is eating to enough and on my plan. I guess I just worry because I am tracking my carbs and limiting things that I love to eat, like bread, rice, and pasta, that I will fail to do the program. I hope that makes sense. So I'm pretty sure Del Ronda was the one talking about type 2 diabetes. I worry because I am tracking my carbs and limiting. Okay. So no BS is not a diet. It is not rules. It is an action framework. And you can place that action framework within the constraint of any kind of special diet like diabetes, or let's say you need to, worry about your heart health or something like that. So just because you are tracking your carbs and limiting those, that doesn't mean that no BS will work. Excuse me, will not work. And so when you say that I'm limiting things I love to eat, well, there's good reasons why you're doing that because it's for your health and it's a doctor recommended, it's for medical reason. You worry that you'll fail to do the program. You can absolutely focus on eating to enough and eating to your plan while also limiting carbs like breads, rice, and pasta for medical reasons. Corinne, will say you can eat whatever you want, and that is speaking to the general public. For someone who is type 2 diabetic, you have a medical reason to avoid eating sugary things. And so What I want to definitely share with you is like you can absolutely succeed with no BS while limiting carbs, sugary things, that type of thing, because it's for a medical reason. My bigger concern for you is if you're falling into diet mentality and you're like, oh, this is so restrictive, and you want to rebel, like let's talk about that. Where how is there a way that you can look at your food choices as choices rather than following rules? So you are making choices to not eat bread and rice and pasta for very solid reasons. Why do you like those reasons? And focus on that rather than telling yourself, I can't have bread or rice or pasta because of the medical diagnosis. So those are some thoughts there. All righty. We got Gretchen says, I'm new to the program. Welcome. And focusing on, am I hungry and stopping enough? I know we have individual needs, but wondering what most people do with regards to nighttime snacks. Historically, I would eat snacks in the early evening, mostly out of what I am learning now is habit, boredom, or being tired. I've stopped doing that, but I do find that I think I'm hungry later in the evenings. I have alternated by trying to ignore it and having a small snack. Ignoring it seems somewhat contradictory, but I'm not sure I really need a snack before bed. Okay, so first, Gretchen, great job with what you've already done. Like you've examined a pattern, you recognize that it might be more of a habit than a need for food. And so you're just questioning, am I hungry? Such a good question to ask. Very, very helpful. So you're already making progress. And then you say, I find that I'm hungry later in the evenings, but I'm not sure if I really need a snack before bed. So when you're ignoring it, you're trying to distract, which is not all that bad, but it's also like, again, it's a signal, it's not a problem. So when you have a desire to eat after dinner, I want you to treat it as a signal instead of a problem. And so it's a signal saying, hey, something's going on in here. It could be, hey, we need more fuel. Your body has used up the fuel you gave it at dinner and it's ready for more. It could be that. Or it could be you're having an emotional need, for something, and your brain thinks that food will fill that need. Now, the need might be just this is what we do. The need might be a need for relaxation or comfort. And your brain has just gotten used to meeting that emotional need with a physical solution of food. And so, what I would encourage you to do after dinner, when you have the thought, oh, I'm hungry, question number one. How do I know? What physical signal is my body sending me that tells me I'm hungry? So tune in. Just like, how do I know if I need to use the bathroom? Like you kind of like feel inside your body, like, okay, what are the signals? So same thing, feel inside. What are the physical signals that are telling me I need food? And if you can't find any, then chances are it's an emotional need. And so then you ask, what am I feeling? I'm feeling bored. I'm feeling tired. I'm feeling, antsy, whatever it is. And so then you're like, all right, what could meet that need? What could meet the need of boredom? What could meet the need of tired? Food is one way, but there are lots of other ways. So that's what I would encourage you to do, Gretchen, is when you have the thought after dinner to eat, how do I know I'm hungry? What physical signals is my body sending me? If it's not a physical signal, then ask, what am I feeling? And then see what other ways you could meet that need. Okay. Thank you so much, Momo, for telling me I'm amazing. I appreciate that. I am all about the words of affirmation. Bring it. Okay. Ruth says, I don't like hunger in general. To me, perhaps it means unmet needs or healing. I don't like seeing animals hungry either. I rush to get my bird feeders out, especially when the birds are screaming for food. Same thing with the deer that come for the seed and the bird feeders to feed apples. Same thing with stray cats, who I help them get safe and warm. I don't like seeing any creature in discomfort. I consider my yard a safe haven. Same thing with my elderly dog, who is deaf and only barks when she wants a snack. So I am sure helping the weak plays into it. When I was a kid, I was hardly ever hungry, and I remember my mother begging me to eat even a half a sandwich. Then, as I hit my late teens, oh my God, I started enjoying food so much. Now I have trouble knowing what enough is. I am sure this is all connected. Question mark. Okay. So Ruth, you don't like hunger, You've noticed a pattern that you don't like seeing hunger in other creatures. You don't like seeing discomfort in other creatures. You clearly have a big heart. And you have the memory of not being hungry when you were little and then hit your teens and everything started, you started to enjoy food a lot. So this would definitely be something that I would love to dig in a little deeper with you, like perhaps in Ask Coaches. First of all, when you say you don't like hunger and you don't like seeing other creatures feel hungry, like what is your nervous system making hunger mean? Why is hunger a problem? For example, when I feel my stomach growl, I think, oh, this is good. This is good news. It means that I fed my body enough and my body used up that fuel and is ready for more. Great. I'm doing it right. So for me, feeling hunger is like, good. Like, I'm doing it right. And so for you, what does hunger mean? Does it mean it's a problem? Does it mean it's a threat? Does it mean that something is, you're not being taken care of? So that's what I would start with. When you say, you hit your late teens and you started to enjoy food so much. I don't want to make any assumptions, but I'm wondering if something specific changed more than just hormones, if there was a perhaps a lack of safety where your brain was like, I want to feel safe and food is the way I do it around that time frame in your life. So again, sounds like something we could get into a little bit deeper if you were able to send in a note to Ask Coaches. But main question is, what does your brain make hunger mean? Why is it a problem? All right. Oh, I love all these Q&As. Thanks, team. So we got Jackie says, I've quit alcohol and have started to sub nighttime snacks for the wine. And another thought, I don't know why, sorry, I don't know my why I belong to no BS for not drink. Let me try this again. And another thought, I don't know my why I belong to no BS for not dining, I'm guessing doing the work. Why pay if I'm not going to do the work to lose the weight and get back to the goal of 2023? I'm very defeated. Okay, thank you. So you're not doing the work. I don't know, Jackie, if you happen to be here at the beginning of my call, but I suspect the reason why you're not doing the work is not because you don't want to. Like, you have plenty of want to. It's that there is a lack of safety. There is something that is going on in your life that you don't feel safe to let go of food for. And so when we think about what's going on, if you were to let go of food and like be sort of out in the cold to have to handle this by, yourself, what's that thing? Is it, I don't know how to feel my feelings? Is it, I'm super stressed at work? I'm lonely. What is it that food is keeping you safe from? So I would encourage you, Jackie, to shift the story. It's not like I'm not doing the work, so I'm just broken. Like, that's not it. It's more, you're not doing the work for a good reason. Why? What does your brain not feel safe to let go of the food for? What is it protecting you from? So that's what I would encourage you to think about. All right. iPad says, today my daughter and husband left the house. I had some sneak eating going on and I need to help figuring out why. Ooh, such a good topic. So sneak eating, it happens, all of us do it. Well, maybe not all of us, but a lot of us do it. I certainly have done it in the past. I've done some sneak drinking, not super proud of that either. Why? Why do we do it? Mostly because we think we're getting away with something or they won't see. And what it really is like, who are you getting away with something from? And usually when I ask that question, a client is like, well, nobody, because like if my husband, daughter, whatever, if they knew, like they wouldn't judge me for it, it'd be fine. So really, it's you judging you. And so you have a judgment of the food that you want to eat, probably because you are moralizing it. Whatever the food is that you want to eat is like bad, I'm guessing. Or somewhere along the line, your brain learned that the food that you want is bad. So there's some shame around it. So you can eat it in secret. So iPad, I would encourage you to question like, where am I judging myself around this food? What is my story around this food? Is it the food type of food particular, or is it the amount of food? Like, let's get a little bit more curious about that. Same thing. I would definitely encourage you to write it to us and ask coaches so we can help you dig into that a little bit more. Really, the best part is that you wrote in about it, and because the first step through to address sneak eating is to let go of the shame, and the way you let go of shame is through self-compassion, which is basically, what would you say to a friend if you were having coffee with a friend and she said, you know, I snuck a bunch of Oreos when my husband left the house. I'm so ashamed. What would you tell her? You probably offer her some compassion. You probably tell her it makes so much sense that you did that because you've been so stressed because, you know, your mother's been sick or whatever. So what would you tell a friend and where are you judging yourself? All right. We're knocking out these Q&As and we got 10 more minutes. Sue says, congratulations, Lizzie. Your newest book, Light, is awesome. Thank you, Sue. Audible, especially. I love your personality all over the pages. Thank you so much. You are the best. Thank you. Oh, Sue. Big hearts. Let's see if Zoom will give me hearts. Yeah, look at that. Thank you, everybody. It was absolutely a labor of love. And I have this vision. Super. Okay. Cheese alert. My husband has taught me that, like, I am super cheesy, but like, I need to like warn people when cheesy is coming. So, cheese alert, on the alert. I have this vision of like a football stadium of amazing women. And it's like, we're lit up. One person's like lit up from their heart, and like it just spreads like one candle lighting another, light another, light another. And so like the idea of the book is to like let go of all of the crap that weighs us down with weight loss so that you can live the life you want to lose weight for. Like that's what we want. So get out there and shine your light, ladies. Thank you, Sue. I appreciate that. Can you see I'm kind of passionate about it? Just a little. The title, Colleen, is called Light, The New Psychology of Weight Loss. And Amazon was a little bit of a butt. And so they pulled my ebook, y'all. The hard copy is still there and Audible is still there, but they pulled my ebook because they thought I was manipulating reviews. What? You guys were so amazing. So amazing. But I have a workaround. You can get it through my website. Anyways, back to our Q&A. It's being stated, follow the plan. What is the plan? The weekly meal plan on the website? Is there something else? Thank you, Kenda. Great question. The plan is your plan that you choose for yourself. You do not have to follow a weekly plan on the website. It is what do you want to eat over the next 24 hours? Plan it out. And then you don't have to, the purpose of the plan is not to follow the plan. And you may be like, wait, what did she say? The purpose of making a 24-hour plan is to help you think. Is to help you make intentional choices. And so it is not about following rules, it is about choosing your food intentionally. Now, some people don't love making a plan. I don't make a plan for breakfast or lunch because it's the same every day. I only plan dinner because that's the time of day when I am most likely to make a terrible, impulsive decision. Maybe not terrible, but like I'm gonna make an impulsive decision that I'll regret later. So, Kenda, the idea about the plan is decide for the next 24 hours what do you want to eat and when, and then try to follow it. And if you change your mind, ask why. Be intentional about your choices. That's what the plan is about. All right, Anonymous says, are there any No BS coaches more experienced with pre-diabetes stuff? Oh, that's a good question. I bet you MJ might have some info about that, but I will ask on the team, on our team Slack. So not specifically to my knowledge, but that's I will find that out for you. Mary asked, what do I eat for breakfast every day? That's funny. So I put protein powder in my coffee. I have a cup of caffeinated and a cup of decaf coffee. And I have like a half a scoop in maybe three quarters of a scoop in each. So it probably works out to about a scoop and a half total of protein powder and a spoonful of peanut butter. I just don't need that much food in the morning. But I prep veggies like peppers and broccoli, and I have that every day between 9 and 10. So that's kind of like my mid-morning carbs is my veggie snack for hummus, with hummus, by the way. And then lunch is last night's protein, chicken steak, whatever, on lettuce with a hard-boiled egg and some avocado and some salsa. I know, it's the same every day. All right, Shannon says, I'm going away with a group of friends, and we share the responsibility of cooking and planning meals, so I only have control of what I bring and cook. Can you give me some strategies to use or things to say? Sure. When you don't know what the food is gonna be, I love the tool seven or better. So a food shows up and you look at it and you're like, okay, on a scale of 1 to 10, where do I rate this? Is it a 10? Is it a 5? Usually the demarcation line between 6 and 7 is where, like, 7 or better, you're gonna be really glad you had it. 6 and below, it's like, why am I eating this? Because probably because it's in front of me. So, like, Shannon, if your group of friends gets, a bag of pretzels, where is that on your scale of 1 to 10? Like, for me, a bag of pretzels is probably like a 3. Like, I'll eat them if they're in front of me, but they're not like the most amazing pretzels in the world. And so you can ask yourself, am I going to be glad I had these later? Whereas a friend, who she's it's her night to cook, and she makes the most amazing chicken fajitas, and they're just like, mwah. And they're a 9 out of 10. Amazing. Dive in, enjoy it. Two enough. And so that would be a suggestion I would offer you when you're not totally sure what's going to be served, or are you totally in control? And if there is something that is like not your fave, again, eat two enough. Heads up, your brain might be disappointed. It might feel like I didn't get the juice I was hoping for out of that meal. That doesn't mean go forage later. That means, okay, I had a meal where I wasn't totally satisfied. I was hoping for an 8 and I got a 5. Guess what? The next meal is coming soon. Like, you don't have to make up for it. So, thoughts on that? Okay, we got two more. Mary says, now we have three more. I hardly ever have any alone time since my husband retired and is home all day long. On the weekends, it is the same as the week, no me time. On the rare occasions when he goes out to dinner with a friend once a quarter, I find I dip into unhealthy snacks, junk food as a reward for my finally having me time. How can I reframe this, please? Well, how do you define me time? It sounds like you define it as being alone in your house, which can be delightful, but does it have to be? And when he goes out, why do you need a reward? Like, I would suggest looking for ways to give you yourself me time, within the circumstance that you find that he is home all the time. So, okay, he's home. That's your new circumstance. How can you figure out a way to give you me time that feels satisfying to you so that you're not, sneaking away to get food when he does go out? So it's that to me is like less about the food and more about how do you create me time. Again, the desire for food is a signal. It's not a problem. It's a signal saying, I want some time for myself. And so how can you create that given that your circumstances are different now? Anonymous says, thank you for about the pre-diabetics question. And I appreciate the compliment. Thank you so much. All right, one more. We've got Sue says, I have come to the conclusion that I definitely fall in the ADHD category, more on the mild side, but I am there. What would be a good way to approach creating new habits while I'm figuring this out? That is such a good question. So Sue, I have a client who also has ADHD, and she says, like, it's almost like her brain puts things into two buckets, now and not now. And so for her, it's like when, like, whatever is in now can become all consuming, whether that is a task or procrastinating. What is a good way to approach creating new habits? Well, there is a journal. I'm gonna look, see if I can find it real quick. One thing that a different client has suggested is can be really interesting, is making a game out of it. Of like, if you put the habits that you want, like, let's say list them out 1 to 6, and then roll dice, and whatever the number is, like, let's say a 2 is intentional movement, and you roll the dice and it lands on a 2, and you're like, okay, the universe said it's time for intentional movement. So you stand up and sit down in your chair 10 times. If another habit is I want to get better at drinking water, and let's say that's a six, and you roll the dice, six rolls up, time to drink water. I found the planner. It is called the Anti-Planner. It's not available on Amazon. I have been told that that is a great resource for neurodivergent brains. Okay, look at us right on time. Ladies, it is absolutely a gift and a pleasure to get to spend this time with you. You are so amazing. I see how beautiful you are. I see that light inside of you, and I want you to see it for yourself too. You are worth believing in yourself. You are worth being willing to make a little tweak and see, like, what could I try today? Because if Lizzie believes in me and Corinne believes in me, then maybe I could believe in me too. Because I want you to get out there and live the life you want to lose weight for. No more waiting. Living. That's what we're here for. Yeah, give me the booms. All right, everybody, I will see you in 30 minutes for the maintenance call. Woo! Talk to you soon. Bye.